This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
This is Mad Wednesday. Where's my brain gone already? It's Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Robbie and Jean. Now, Robbie, you are flicking through the Melbourne Queer Film Festival guide.
I know, I'm quickly cramming in my research.
Because you've never really experienced the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, have you?
No, I haven't. I've experienced some gatherings afterwards. I actually went and met my husband last year after, no, it wasn't last year, a couple of years ago, after Scrum during the Melbourne Queer Festival.
Yeah. The rugby documentary.
The rugby documentary.
Yeah, that was good. Well, lucky then that we've got these fabulous guests in coming to get to tell you everything that's going on in the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Joining us now in the studio is Spiro and Maxwell from MQFF. Hello, fellas. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you for having us on.
Now, the program launched last night in a fabulous array.
It certainly did.
It was always a fabulous party. I do enjoy it every single time. And everyone's always hankering to get their hands on the program, which is ridiculously thick.
It's a big one this year.
No, it absolutely is, Dean. And, we had a terrific launch last night at Crown Metropole with over 300 people in attendance there. They really lapped up the announcement of the curated program, our biggest and most diverse ever. So
it is a really huge program. And this year as well, MQFF is actually expanding outside of the usual areas in the city, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, Dean. So this year we'll be screening at the Village Jam Factory in South Yarra, as well as Cinema Nova in Carlton North, as well as Acme in Melbourne City. So we're going to have offerings right in the Melbourne CBD, the Inner North, as well as the Inner South. And we'll even be having our opening night film, Papachulo, at the Jam Factory as well on the 14th of March.
Oh, so it's nice to finally give everyone something a little bit different. We're in the 29th year of MQFF after all, and it just keeps getting bigger and better. So one of those things is expanding all over Melbourne.
Oh, absolutely. And, it just builds on the successes that we've had in recent times. We had a screening at the Village Drive-In in Coburg only less than 2 weeks ago.
That sold out during midsummer, didn't it?
It was fantastic. We had over 600. It was Greece, the 41st anniversary.
It was even Greece.
600 cars, 2,000 people. Terrific.
I was really frustrated because the thought of watching Greece at the drive-in was just exciting to me. And it's midsummer, which means I barely have time to myself at all. But that looked absolutely great. Like, it just looked packed.
It was so much fun.
Can we get a guarantee that we're going to get more drive-in films from MQFF during the year?
Well, I can tell you now there's a huge demand for it. It's definitely on the agenda. Watch this space.
I mean,
But that's for the future because, right now it's all about the actual Queer Film Festival that's kicking off on the 14th of March. It's literally a month and a day away.
That's right.
Now, Spiro, you've basically put this all together, haven't you, with all of these films?
Pretty much.
And that, how do you even begin to do something like that?
It's a 12-month process, basically. That's already started now for the 30th, to be completely honest with you. So, I begin to sort of start tracking, following films from, festivals that, start from January right up until kind of this year, right up until January the 4th.
when you're trying to create a program like this, you're basically creating films that have something for everybody. That's huge to think how you even begin to do something like that. And looking at this program, it's filled with so much diversity.
Yeah, you have to really sort of think about, the audience, and we have an amazing and dedicated audience that come back every year, and it's about sort of trying to cater to them and, sort of make sure that you're sort of showcasing diversity and more importantly, showing really good films that people can come in and enjoy. So, that's the other key factor.
Now, for someone like Robbie, who has never really dipped his toe into the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, what would you suggest is a good way for him? What are some films in the program this year that's a good way for him to kind of explore and find out about it all?
Ease my way in.
Well,
make sure you get to opening night, though. Tickets are on sale now, so actually buy.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah. Well, I always kind of sort of encourage people to be adventurous and maybe try and see something they wouldn't think about seeing usually, because I think that's always a good way to kind of explore. So, what do you like?
I'll try and challenge it. Well, I was flicking through before, and I've seen a few things that look interesting. I've seen a few familiar faces too. There was a movie with Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory and Claire Danes.
that's a wonderful film. A Kid Like Jake is a really, really fantastic movie based on a play, actually, about a sort of well-to-do sort of middle-class American couple who have a four-year-old son who may or may not be transitioning. And it's sort of about this sort of, I guess, this debate these parents have about what to do, really. And so it's a very kind of complex film, actually. I think it's a very honest film.
Well, that's a really, it's a really complex situation, so it's good that it's able to be portrayed in that way. So that's so we can see when Robbie goes through the guide, what Robbie looks for is what looks familiar or who looks pretty. Pretty, quite frankly. Well, then, and this is the suggestion I'm going to make for you, Robbie. The shorts package is always a really brilliant, a really brilliant way to dip your toe. You can basically see five to seven different short films.
And you know what? I would start with, you know, our comedy shorts package. It's always a really great night. It's a really diverse package that's going to cater to a lot of, you know, different audience members, and it's got a some fun titles even are enough, like Repugnant and The Shit.
There's an entire one about is it about, you were saying last night about a pug?
Yeah, a gay pug who's forced into gay conversion therapy, which you really must see.
And I'm sold on that already just because I think what a great, great idea for a film.
I don't know the idea of, like, comedy is always a good, like, social joiner, isn't it?
That's
like, it's always a good...
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good even playing field for most people, I think.
Well, the thing that you find, especially with MQFF audiences, is you kind of think, oh, well, you know, the women's ones will just, shorts will just have the women in it. The men's will just have the men's. But it's not like that at all. Every the audiences are just as diverse as the program, which is what makes it really great.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday you were saying that there's an Indigenous shorts.
Yes, which is the first time we've ever done this, which is
amazing.
It's so exciting. Absolutely. And, you know, I really hope that this is actually the beginning of us really kind of making this kind of a real focus of our festival every year. So I think this is a really great kind of primer, and the shorts in there are really wonderful, and we're going to have a couple of the filmmakers in attendance, which is great.
Is it maybe also the fact that over the past, say, 5 to 10 years, there's not only an appetite for audiences to be able to see queer Indigenous stories, but also for those stories to be told by Indigenous people and putting them into the and creating the avenue so that they can do that.
Well, absolutely. That's it. Yeah, and that's actually that's the point as well. I think what's happening now, and we're reaping this, which is amazing, is that people are investing more in these, you know, voices. And so we're now getting to see films, and there should be more of that. And, you know, I hope that we can, you know, we see more films from Indigenous filmmakers.
Well, speaking of investing, one of the really good things as the festival has grown, we've seen, especially with this year's festival, there's two great initiatives. One, which had the announcement last night, which was the partnership with Quit, which was the short films and the two people that were announced as the winners.
Yes.
And I didn't vote for either of those films. And I loved hearing from the head of Quit last night when they were doing their speech and saying that everyone in the office had their own favourites, and I was the same. Mm. Like, they were all fantastic short films that were put up on the side.
Yeah.
And it was really great to see which ones actually won, but any of them could have been a winner.
Totally. Oh,
absolutely. And, you know, the MQFF is, you know, very much committed to engaging with the community, investing in LGBTIQ filmmaking, you know, within Victoria in particular and Australia generally as well. Quit partnership last night, which culminated with the Keep the Vibe Alive competition, and the two winners yesterday evening, was just fantastic. But not only was it a partnership where we were able to invest in filmmaking in Victoria and Australia, but it also presented filmmakers and the festival an opportunity to really contribute to, for example, a social issue, which is high rates of smoking within the, you know, LGBTIQ community, something that we can tackle in a meaningful and an engaging way. And we were just so happy with the engagement we got from our fans and our audiences who voted for the winning films, who also submitted you know, ideas and concepts to make films, and we're so glad to have been able to invest a substantial amount of money back into filmmaking. In fact, this year, through our usual prizes, through our Pitch Please competition, which we're introducing for the first time this year, and Friday's the deadline for submitting your concepts, and make sure you get them in.
Dean, have you put yours in?
Okay. Dean, I've just finished Midsummer. I've had a day of rest.
Make
it's
your
tomorrow,
film,
it's tomorrow's job.
Okay, we'll hold you to that. But this year, MQ QFF is investing circa $50,000 in cash to LGBTIQ filmmaking and developers, you know, in Victoria, Australia. That is an Australian record and something we're very proud of, and we hope to build on in the times ahead.
That's so fantastic. You know what? We're going to go to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have a flick through the program on the break and talk a bit more about everything that's going on. But you did say that there. It's for this Friday is the deadline for the Pitch Please program. It's too many P's. So jump onto the MGF website where you can get all the details for that, because you've got two more days to be able to put your pitch together and send it through. But we're going to come back and find out more about what's in the program for the Melbourne Queer Film Festival this year. You're on Mad Wednesdays with Robbie and Dean. Look at him, he's scrutinizing. Robbie's right into it, just going through that guide, looking at it all. You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Robbie and Dean, and we're joined in the studio by Spiro Maxwell from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, because last night, the MQFF Festival for 2019, the program was launched, it was live, the website went on, tickets are already on sale, and you've only got a month and one day before the festival kicks into high gear. So we wanted to find out about everything that's going on. So Spiro, what's in the opening and closing night of the festival?
So for opening night, we have a film called Puppy Chulo, which is directed by an Irish director called John Butler, and he had a film with us in the festival back in 2017, I think it was. It was one of our surprise screenings, called a very sweet movie called Handsome Devil. This is his latest film. It stars Matt Bomer, and it's about an LA weatherman who has a bit of a public meltdown on air, as we probably both
well, yeah, I've very done that many times. Yeah, every week, quite
frankly. I think you'll be able to relate to this, and it becomes kind of a really interesting film about. You know, he meets a Mexican immigrant who he kind of enlists to kind of paint his deck, and forms a very interesting kind of bond with him, which I don't want to go too much into, because I think you should see the film. But it's actually quite a sweet film, and I think it's sort of a really timely movie in terms of what's going on in US politics at the moment, etc.
Oh, all right.
And it's also worth noting that the opening night film will be shown at the Village Cinemas Jam Factory in South Yarra. So that's where we'll be having it in the after party at the Emerson on Mercer Road.
A lot of flashbacks for people, I'm sure.
That is really good for me, especially. A lot of flashbacks. a lot of memories in that building.
Yeah, now, mostly good.
Not just a retro film selection, a retro experience. Yeah.
What about the closing night film?
So I'm very excited about the closing night film. It's a movie called Jeremiah Terminator Leroy. It's directed by Justin Kelly, who we screened two of his features in my first festival in 2016, which were King Cobra and our opening night film back then, I'm Michael. And Jeremiah Terminator Leroy stars Kristen Stewart, Laura Dern. It's got Diane Kruger. Courtney Love's in there. You know, it's got a really great cast, and it's based on a true story about this very infamous literary scandal, sort of the 90s, about which you may not know about J.T. Leroy, basically. And it sort of becomes a really interesting film about gender and sexuality and fluidity. And it's really good. Kristen Stewart's sensational in it. And Laura Dern's always amazing.
Well, that's Chop and Tailing the festival. What about in between?
Right, guys. I have picked my favourite. Picked my movie that I'm going to go see.
What one's, Robbie?
Dana will become no surprise to you. I am a big fan of most things Southeast Asian.
Diversity champion.
Visited Thailand a few times. There's a beautiful award-winning film straight out of Thailand, Melilla, The Farewell Flower, that looks very interesting.
That is a really, really beautiful film, I have to say. It's basically about a young man who is training to become a Buddhist monk, and he sort of is reflecting on a relationship that he kind of let go with another man. And I don't want to go too much into it. It's got a couple of little kind of, I don't want to say supernatural elements in it, but it's really beautiful, actually. I liked it a lot.
Well, the one that...
Very lyrical.
One that I was going to put a shout out there for is my big gay Italian wedding. I actually saw this as a part of the Italian Film Festival last year. It's a fantastic film. It's a great, great film. It's subtitled, but it's still fantastic. Yeah. A great Italian film when two gay men get married and go back to their hometown. And it's really entertaining and really fun. So everyone, I suggest going and seeing that.
Yeah.
I also want to put a quick call out to you, Spiro. We've only got a minute, but one of the things that people have always, at least used to always say about the film was a lot of the lesbians would always complain that there wasn't a good enough realistic sex scenes in the lesbian films. And then when we finally had one that had one, they were like, oh, no, it's not what we want to see. So what's something in there that's fantastic for the ladies?
Well, we've got a really really strong female orientated lineup this year, I think, actually, with a lot of the lesbian films. I think Anchor and Hope is fantastic. It's actually a film that I've been trying to get for a while, so I was really excited that we got in it.
Awesome.
Even Candela, I think, is a really brilliant movie about a sort of a long-term relationship, and the film kind of flips back and forth between these two women's lives. So they, as they kind of juggle domesticity, infidelity, it's a really, really, really interesting film about relationships.
You know what? There's so many films. I don't even know where to begin. We've barely been able to even scratch the surface, and we've had you guys in here for 20 minutes.
I know.
So I think we're just going to have to keep talking MQFF and queer films and this program for the next month. Everybody, tickets are now on sale for the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
And please hurry. We expect opening night centrepiece and opening closing night to sell out.
They always do.
Don't hesitate and don't hold back.
Don't hold back. So tickets are on sale right now. It's happening from the 14th to the 25th.
General tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. 9 a.m.
There we go. So 14th to 25th of March, general tickets on sale tomorrow morning. You've got
members now.
There you go. Well, I'm one of those, so there you go. We're laughing. I can get everything that I want already. You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9, but jump to the website mqff.com.au.
Or download the app.
Or download the app, and you can find out everything that's happening for Melbourne's Queer Film Festival. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Mad Wednesdays with Robbie and Dean.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.